Well, a student group in Hong Kong today demanded the city completely scrap the extradition bill that sparked massive protests. The city's leader has suspended debate on the bill, but has stopped short of taking it completely off the table. Hong Kong is a former British colony that was transferred to China in 1997, but it is semi-autonomous from Beijing and has a special relationship with the U.S. when it comes to trade. We're going to talk about that now. And joining us is Kenneth Raposa, who's a senior contributor for Forbes covering China. Ken, explain this special relationship between the U.S. and Hong Kong when it comes to trade.
Well, let's put it very simple. Right now we have a trade war going on. So if China wants to export certain goods to the United States, they have to pay an extra fee at the ports. Hong Kong doesn't have that situation, of course. It's also a different currency, Hong Kong dollar, Chinese yuan. So it's very much two different systems. Hong Kong is allowed to trade with the United States at current tariff rates, not affiliated with the increases due to the trade war. And that's a big benefit for Hong Kong. If that changes, or as it was threatened to be changed, should the extradition law be passed, which it did not, it would be a big blow to Hong Kong.
When you say that they trade via the Hong Kong dollar, that is pegged to the U.S. dollar, right?
Yes, it's not a one-for-one, but it's a trading band. So, you know, it is pegged. But a lot of people, when they hear the word peg, they think $1 is one Hong Kong dollar. That's not exactly the case, but it fluctuates within the dollar's movement.
So is it possible right now for Chinese companies to route trade through Hong Kong to the United States to get around the tariffs?
Yes, it's possible. I don't know all the legalities of that, but it's possible.
So is there any possibility right now that this special relationship between the U.S. and Hong Kong when it comes to trade would end?
Well, if you take some of the key members of Congress at their word, if you were to have the extradition bill pass, it's on pause at the moment and has not been withdrawn, then we can say yes. Nancy Pelosi said in so many words that she would review the special relationship, which is up for review, I believe, every year. Marco Rubio and a group of about seven other congressmen said the same thing. This would be about a few men from the Senate and a few from the House who also said the same. They would put it up for review. So it would certainly be on the table if that bill became law.
And how big of a deal would that be? Do you think that played any role in the Chinese government deciding to kind of pull back on this extradition bill?
Well, the Chinese government says this wasn't our idea. This was the Hong Kong government's idea, right? So I think the protests in the street, we could say, is what made the Hong Kong government say, let's put this on hold, not withdraw it. Again, it's still on the table. But it's hard to say whether or not the U.S. had some impact. But I would say that it certainly moved the needle, right? Because if you're threatening to end a special relationship that's been going on since the 90s, if you're threatening to end that, you risk Hong Kong receiving, being able to trade with the U.S. tariff-free, or not tariff-free, but whatever the tariff rate may be. It may be 2%, 4%, 10%, depending on the item. But you risk also the inflow of dollars, which is a problem for China as well, because they could exchange dollars easily by getting the yuan, bring it to Hong Kong, exchanging for Hong Kong dollars, taking those Hong Kong dollars, exchanging it for dollars. It's very complicated, right? Mm-hmm. But the risk to Hong Kong is if you lose that special relationship, you lose a large chunk of your dollar inflow, and it changes the whole economics of Hong Kong.
President Trump is going to meet President Xi of China later this month at the G20 summit in Japan. What's your sense of what that meeting will be like and where the trade war is headed?
Yeah, I think what that will be, what we've heard so far is that it's not going to just discuss tariffs and a ceasefire, but they'll look at bigger picture things such as Huawei, the 5G telecom giant that you hear about in the press all the time nowadays, and of course Hong Kong as an issue as well. Maybe some issues with the South China Sea, but I think that's probably on the back burner. Trump might tweet out something special about the relationship and how she's his friend, and maybe the stock market will be happy about that. But I think pretty much the people I talk to, at least, and I talk to portfolio managers on a fairly regular basis with money at work in China, and their argument is, look, you have to assume the worst here. You have to assume that tariffs are going up, maybe not exactly following the G20, but probably by the end of the year, we're not going to be caught with our hands in a cookie jar on this one. So I don't expect much, really. We had a similar situation when you look at Buenos Aires G20, when Trump and Xi said, hey, let's call it quits for a little bit on this, on the tariff escalation. They did. And 5 months later, we are where we are now. So I think it's better to pencil in that possibility than any other at this point.
That's Kenneth Raposa, who is a contributor for Forbes covering China. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.